You stand on your land with a seed pack in your hand, and no clear idea if the ground beneath you can keep anything alive. The weather is shifting fast. One year brings heat that cracks the soil. The next year brings cold that kills a crop overnight. You feel pressure building because every mistake wastes money, time, and growing space. You need a way to understand what this land can take and what it refuses to tolerate. The zone you live in is not a label you glance at and forget. It decides your planting window, your survival rate, and whether a crop reaches harvest before the season beats it down. When you get the zone wrong, everything collapses. When you get it right, the land starts to work with you. That is why you study the numbers, the maps, and the climate forces that shape your specific patch of earth. Your growing zone is your first line of defense. Chapter 1, Mapping Your Position on the Planet. You start by learning where your land fits on the climate scale. Zones are built from one simple measurement: the coldest temperature your region hits in an average year. That number decides everything. It shows you what a plant must survive to make it through winter. It tells you if a tender crop will die the first night a hard freeze passes through. It tells you if a shrub can root deep enough before the cold pushes back. You look at a USDA hardiness map and see colors spread across a continent. Every band on that map holds a temperature range. One band may drop to zero, another stays far above freezing. These colors show you the minimums, not the averages, not the pleasant days, the worst day of your cold season. That single moment is what the plant must fight through. When you study that range, you understand why a citrus tree lives in one region and dies in another. You understand why some seeds never sprout outside warm belts. You understand why certain crops fail, no matter how much effort you put in. Your region has more going on than a single number. Elevation shifts your nights. Coastal winds change your humidity. Drought years throw your expectations off balance. Rainfall swings can cut a season short. A zone is a starting point, not the full truth. You keep that in mind because the land you stand on carries its own signature. Two properties in the same county can swing 2 or 3 degrees apart at dawn. One yard may dip into a cold pocket. Another may stay warm because a slope catches sunlight early. You start looking for those differences. Florida gives you a lesson in heat. Some pockets stay warm enough for tropical plants year-round. Others freeze in short bursts that burn leaves and stall new growth. You cannot rely on averages there. You rely on the extreme moments that punch through. That is the hidden pressure behind zone numbers. They reveal what can survive the worst night, not what thrives on the best one. The Midwest teaches another lesson. A warm spring day means nothing when a late cold snap hits in early May. One sudden freeze ruins a season. Gardeners in that region learn to treat the zone like a warning sign. They plant only when the ground temperature holds steady. They watch the sky at night. They follow frost dates like a second calendar. You learn from them because they live inside a climate that punishes impatience. The Caribbean brings its own set of rules. Some islands never fall into cold enough ranges to match a standard USDA number. That does not mean you ignore zones. It means you shift your view. Heat becomes the controlling force. Humidity becomes the second threat. Constant warmth changes how plants behave. You get fast growth during rainy seasons and stalled growth during dry spells. Microclimates form between hillsides, valleys, and coastal wind paths. You see that a zone in the tropics is more about heat tolerance than cold survival. Then you look north, deep into Canada, where cold grips the land for long stretches. The freeze lasts long enough to redefine what survival means. Plants in those regions need more than a cold rating. They need hours of freeze and thaw counted as a cycle. They need long day summers. They need the ability to break dormancy at the right moment. You realize that these climates run on a different clock. A cold zone there is not the same as a cold zone in a dry inland region. Now you return to your own land. You stand outside at dawn and feel the temperature shift. You watch how long the frost holds. You check where the sunlight hits first. You note how wind moves across your ground. You start to see your zone not as a number, but as a pattern. You watch a season from start to finish. You record the extremes. You study the coldest nights. You track the hottest afternoons. You keep these notes because they become your guide. Every failed crop you have seen came from ignoring the zone. Someone planted tender starts before the ground warmed. Someone placed a heat-loving plant in a cool valley. Someone trusted the average weather instead of the extreme weather. You learn from that. You understand the cost of guessing. You accept that your land will not bend to your expectations. You adjust to the land instead. You now understand why this chapter matters. You have learned the mechanics behind the map. You know how the color bands reflect real temperature risks. You know how elevation, winds, droughts, and rainfall shifts change the fate of a plant. You see how different regions across the continent fight their own battles against climate. You carry that knowledge with you because it shapes every planting decision you make. Now, a harder question stands in front of you. What happens when your land swings outside the expected pattern? When your ground warms early but freezes late? When your dry season shifts by several weeks? When the cold sets in faster than it did last year? The zone gives you a baseline. The land gives you the truth. The pressure now comes from understanding how to respond when both start to conflict. Chapter 2, Heat Zones, Cold Zones, and the Science Behind Survival. You begin this chapter by separating two ideas that most growers mix together. A hardiness zone measures cold survival. A heat zone measures stress from high temperatures. Both decide if a plant lives or dies, but they operate on different clocks. Cold survival is about the lowest point your land reaches each year. Heat tolerance is about how many days your land pushes into scorching levels that slow growth or destroy tissue. You need both numbers because each plant has a breaking point on each end of the scale. When you understand where those breaking points sit, you stop losing crops to mistakes you never saw coming. A plant can survive winter but fail in summer. Another plant can thrive in heat but die the first time frost hits. That is why you do not trust one rating. You trust the pair. Together, they form the true outline of your climate. You look at your land through this lens and start to see where your zone fails to tell the whole story. A zone map may say your region can handle a certain fruit tree. A heat zone guide may say the same tree burns under your summer sun. These charts do not argue. They teach you that climate pressure comes from opposite directions. Your job is to understand both. Now you examine the mechanics of plant survival. Cold stress hits a plant at the cellular level. Water inside the tissue freezes. Ice crystals expand. Cell walls rupture. Growth stops. Leaves blacken. Tender plants fail fast. Woodier plants hold longer. Root systems act as the deciding factor. A strong root mass buys time. A shallow root mass collapses early. That is why you watch the soil temperature as much as the air temperature. The soil tells the truth about what the roots are enduring. You learn that a cold snap after a warm week is more dangerous than a steady winter freeze. Sudden drops shock plants. Steady cold allows them to settle into dormancy. Heat stress works differently. A plant loses water faster than it can pull it from the soil. The leaves curl inward to protect themselves. Growth slows. Flowers drop before they set fruit. Roots shrink. Humidity can help or make the heat worse. Dry heat strips moisture fast. Wet heat traps moisture on the surface, inviting disease. Wind exposure adds another layer. A strong wind and a heat wave robs moisture from the leaves. You start to understand why two regions with the same temperature can feel different to plants. One dries them out, the other suffocates them. Heat is not simple. It is a slow tightening of pressure from above and below. This is where you face the idea of microclimates. A microclimate is a pocket of land that behaves differently from the region around it. It can run warmer, it can run cooler, it can catch more shade, it can flood faster, it can dry quicker. You see them in backyards where a wall traps heat. You see them near slopes that drain cold air downward. You see them under tree cover where frost hits later. Microclimates matter because they override the zone rating you read on paper. If your zone says you can grow a plant, but your microclimate dips colder than expected, the plant fails. If your zone says your heat levels are moderate, but your microclimate traps sun all afternoon, the plant burns. Once you grasp this, you stop trusting the map more than the land. You walk your property and learn where the temperature swings live. Now, you turn your attention to the Caribbean tropics. These regions break traditional USDA rules. They do not fall into standard freezing patterns. they stay warm year-round. That does not simplify things. It complicates them. Tropical climates challenge you with constant humidity. They challenge you with storms. They challenge you with heavy rain cycles that wash nutrients from the soil. They challenge you with heat that forces some crops to bolt early. They offer ideal conditions for fast growth, but narrow windows for sensitive plants. You cannot measure these regions using cold minimums. You use heat accumulation instead. You watch rainfall more than frost. You adjust your timing around wet and dry seasons instead of winter and spring. You move to the opposite extreme, Canadian cold regions. These places demand a full understanding of frost cycles. The ground freezes deep. The thaw is slow. The season for planting is short. Plants must wake at the exact right moment. Too early and frost kills them. Too late and they never reach maturity. You learn that freeze hours matter here. The soil temperature controls germination more than the sunlight does. These lands run on precision. A mistaken timing costs an entire season. That is why growers in these regions use cold frames, row covers, and insulated beds. They are not luxuries. They are life support systems for the plants. After seeing the extremes, you return to your land and ask harder questions. You look for the early warning signs that your climate is pushing back. Stunted starts, leaves that yellow before they size up, seedlings that bolt before they form roots, sudden wilt even with enough water, flowers that fall off before fruit sets. Each sign points to a stress factor tied to your zone or microclimate. Maybe the ground runs colder than the map indicates. Maybe the heat holds longer than predicted. Maybe a wind channel cuts across your field. You start treating these signs as messages. The land is telling you what it wants. You now understand the science behind survival. Plants are not just growing, they are reacting to stress at every moment. Cold, heat, humidity, wind, soil temperature, moisture loss, and daylight shifts all work together. Zones give you a framework. Microclimates reveal the deeper truth. Regional patterns teach you what to expect. Extreme climates show you the boundaries. This knowledge sets the stage for the next problem you must solve. You now face the next question. Once you understand what your climate demands, how do you select plants that match it? The answer shapes everything you grow from this point forward. Chapter 3, Building a Planting Strategy That Wins Against the Climate. You enter this chapter with a clear understanding of what your land tolerates and what it rejects. Now you move from knowledge to strategy. Your goal is not to grow what you wish the land could handle. Your goal is to grow what the land can survive. A planting plan is not a list of crops. It is a system built around timing, climate pressure, and risk control. Every choice you make bends toward one outcome. You want plants that can push through your worst days and still reach harvest. You start with the core rule. Match the plant to the zone, not the zone to the plant. When you choose a crop rated for colder conditions than your region, it fails during heat waves. When you choose a crop that demands more heat than your region can offer, it fails before maturity. You stop judging plants by how they look or what you hope to grow. You judge them by their survival rating. Each crop arrives with a range. Some tolerate light frost. Some collapse the moment temperatures fall. Some handle triple-digit heat. Others wilt under steady sun. You use these ranges as your foundation because they tell you how the crop fights back when the season turns harsh. Your next move is timing. Timing wins or loses a season before you ever plant a seed. In heat-first zones, you plant before the hottest stretch hits. You give roots the chance to establish before the ground warms too much. You adjust this timing based on rainfall, humidity, and wind. You pay attention to when storms tend to roll through, because heavy rain can crush young seedlings. You plant early enough to use the moisture, but not so early that storms wash the soil away. Timing in hot climates becomes a race against heat exhaustion. You accept that your goal is to outrun the sun. In frost-first zones, the rules flip. You plant when the soil temperature rises above the danger line. You watch frost dates like a hunter watches tracks. A late freeze kills tender starts, so you hold back until the ground stays warm for several days in a row. You use the thaw cycle to plan your moves. You learn that the soil can feel warm on the surface and still hold cold beneath. That hidden cold destroys roots before they form. You delay planting until the soil stabilizes. The point is not speed, the point is survival. You now examine protection. Every region carries threats that require defenses. Heat zones demand shade cloths to block the worst sun. They need deep mulch beds to hold moisture. They need wide watering patterns that push moisture into the roots instead of scattering it across the surface. They need windbreaks that stop hot winds from stripping leaves. You build these defenses because the heat does not negotiate. It crushes weak plants. You prepare the land to resist that pressure. Cold zones need structures that trap warmth. Raised beds warm faster than ground-level soil. Cold frames give you a head start on early planting. Row covers keep frost from collecting on leaves. In some regions, growers build wind shields to slow down cold gusts that freeze young shoots. You design these barriers not for comfort, but for survival. Cold seasons punish mistakes. You add protection because one freeze can erase months of planning. Now you step into Caribbean tactics. These regions challenge you with heat, humidity, and sudden storms. You choose heat-tolerant staples. Cassava, sweet potato, hot peppers, tropical greens, crops that can handle heavy sun and recover after rain. You plant according to the wet and dry seasons. You use the rainy months for leafy greens and the dry months for root crops. You watch drainage closely because tropical rain floods soil quickly. You build raised beds to avoid waterlogging. You treat shade as a tool, not an obstacle. Tropical farming is a balance between moisture and heat, and you position each crop based on how well it handles both. Then you look at Canadian tactics. These regions demand discipline. You match crops to short seasons, hardy greens, cold-tolerant brassicas, fast-rooting varieties. You use season extension tools to stretch your window. Cold frames, hoop houses, thermal barrels, and insulated covers all play a role. You track first frost and last frost dates with precision. You start seeds indoors when the winter still holds the land in its grip. You bring those seedlings outside only when the soil has fully thawed. You use long summer daylight to your advantage. Northern regions can push rapid growth when conditions finally align. You shape your plan around these cycles because missing a single week can cost you the entire year. Once you build your defenses and understand the timing, you turn to risk management. Every climate carries unpredictable shifts: heat spikes, cold snaps, sudden storms, drought weeks. You accept that these events will come. You design your plan around the worst-case year, not the best-case one. You plant varieties with a range of tolerances. You spread your planting dates across multiple weeks. You diversify crops so a single failure does not collapse your entire season. You manage water carefully. You hold extra mulch on hand during dry years. You keep frost cloth ready for cold shocks. You respect the land enough to expect it to change without warning. By this point, you have a strategy that goes beyond basic gardening. You have a climate survival plan. You understand that every crop you place in the ground is a negotiation. You offer the plant a setting it can handle. The climate decides the rest. You treat this relationship with seriousness because the land does not reward carelessness. You read patterns. You adjust timing. You use protection when needed. You choose crops with intention. You respond to stress signs early. You now answer the final question. What will your long-term plan look like when the climate shifts again? You know it will. Heat waves grow longer. Frost dates move. Storm cycles tighten. Rainfall changes its rhythm. You keep your notes. You watch the extremes. You update your strategy every year. You adapt faster than the climate moves. That is the only way to keep winning.